I wanted it. Anyway, welcome to our pre-show. That is Charles Lott. That was Peter Ustinov. If you didn't see the video cast, you missed it. And Peter Ustinov is talking about being in the movie Spartacus. And the whole fucking thing is hysterical. I mean, it's 20 minutes of him doing impressions of Charles Lott, and you just saw, and Laurence Olivier, and tells the story of Kirk Douglas getting stranded in Banning, dressed as a Roman slave, and nobody believes he's Kirk Douglas. And he tells the story of Charles Lawton being insulted by tourists at Universal, because they had tourists in those days, as you know, going through like they do today. And some woman thought Charles Lawton was Burl Ives. And Ustinov said the funniest thing. He said, "And Charles Lawton was there loitering, waiting to be offended as usual." Anyway, really funny listening to that man. And Peter Ustinov, who was in movies in the 50s and 60s, and later on in late night television, he became a staple. He was a great storyteller. He was like Orson Welles. He's like a British Orson Welles in a way. He was always welcome on these late night shows. Cavett had him on. Carson had him on. Everybody had him on. He told all these fantastic fucking stories. And it was always cool to see him, like Orson Welles and those cats, because they always had these cool-ass stories. But this guy is way funnier than Orson Welles. And the goddamn, you missed the impression. You did. "And there we were, meeting innumerable American priests, all saying the same thing." And then he broke into this perfect Midwest American accent. "Well, I never thought I'd shake hands with Nero." And then he does the voice of a female American tourist. "What is the name of this picture at Spartacus?" "Spartacle? That's a funny name for a major picture." I don't know. It's funny to me. Right, fuck it. I can't find my goddamn glasses to save my ass. Can't find them anywhere, and that is going to be a fucking problem today. You better rock and roll believe that. Rock and roll hoochie coos. You got that right. I cannot find my glasses. A couple things happened. I broke a pair today. I lost a pair yesterday in Santa Monica. Not there wasn't anything about Santa Monica that made it a place where you're going to lose anything, but necessarily. I mean, you can lose a lot in Santa Monica. You can lose a lot in, you know, Redondo Beach if you want. You can lose a lot here. But it happened I lost a pair of glasses in Santa Monica. And to this day, 24 hours later, I don't know how it happened, because I had them in my hand. I stopped the car. I was ready to get out, and I was going to walk to this building, and all of a sudden, they're gone. They're fucking gone. Where the fuck? What? I've torn my car apart, and the only conclusion that I can come to is that they fell off of my lap into the street, and I did not, for whatever reason, notice or hear anything that indicated to me the glasses had left the car and gone to the street. I didn't hear the sound of the plastic hitting asphalt. I didn't hear anything outside. I didn't hear the ambience. I thought it was. In fact, I didn't hear anything. What I thought had happened is, they'd fallen between the seats or somewhere in front of me on the console, something like that. And I'm telling you, they're gone. Now, I was just out of my car. I mean, I looked under the goddamn seats, and I went through the torturous process that you have to go through if you own a Land Rover, of flipping those goddamn seats up and all that bullshit, you know? You know, where they just, you got to pull this, yank that, move this, and don't move that, and suddenly you got a seat. But it's going in opposite directions from where you think it should go, and, you know, I'm having to clear out the back of the goddamn car, and finally the seat is as it should be. It's open, and I'm looking down, and feeling along the underside of the front seat, feeling on the underside of these back seats, and, you know, because they must have, if they were in the car, they must have fallen between, and if they were in underneath one of the back seats, it must have fallen between the front seats and slid back. But all of that would have had to have happened within the immediate two minutes that I was looking for them when I was parked in Santa Monica. Now, what's going to happen is this. I'm going to find the goddamn things 6 months from now while I'm doing something else in the car. Maybe washing it, maybe unloading it, who knows? And look at this. Here's what I was looking for yesterday. Stamps. Bought a whole roll of stamps because I couldn't find those. I'm telling you. All right. Welcome to... That's a funny name for a major picture. Well, Charles Laughton was doing what he usually did, standing around waiting to be offended, loitering, waiting to be offended. And these women came and they offended him. this Ustinov interview is for the Criterion DVD. There you go. Yeah. Really fucking funny. Really funny. Just Charles Laughton directed a movie called Night of the Hunter with Robert Mitchum, and it was really an unusually and brilliantly received, you know, it was brilliantly executed and received with high accolades. The critical response was amazing. Robert Mitchum probably was never better. And an old silent film actress was in it. What the fuck was her name? Well, she was an elderly woman, and she was protecting these two children who were being hunted by this mad preacher, played by Charles Laughton. Or, excuse me, played by Robert Mitchum. And this elderly actress, Mary Pickford, but like in that era, she was great. And then the two kids in the creepy fucking movie. Really creepy. No glasses. It's just fucking, I can't, how am I going to function without glasses? Look at this. I got, who the fuck is it? Joanne Marianne. So there was a helicopter crash in Newport Beach today in the Back Bay, what is called the Back Bay of Newport, East Bluff. And it was down the street, I'm told, Joanne told me later, from her house. Because as soon as I heard that there'd been a helicopter crash into a house in Newport Beach and that there were fatalities, the first thing I'm thinking of is my sister. So I tweeted her. No, I messaged her. I also gave her a shout out on Facebook, and she, within a minute or so, she was back to me, and she said, I'm fine. She said it was down the street. I said, Jesus Christ, down the street? She said, yeah, it was in East Bluff, Back Bay, and if you look at the news coverage, it was on, you know, that street. What the hell is the name of that goddamn street? It's not Jamboree, but it's near there, and just as you're coming off the... what will eventually be the turnpike, as they call it, the toll road 73. You get off and you're heading into the Back Bay. And I didn't think she was hurt. I didn't think she'd gotten hit, but I had a feeling she was somehow, you know, that she was in the proximity or something. I just had this feeling that there was a little bit of danger surrounding her. And so I you know, messaged her, and she was fine. Anywho, Joanne's amazing. She's really an amazing woman. She's in her late 60s. She's still going like a million miles an hour. She's a caterer. She's a, designs events. She's into event designing, you know, and parties, that kind of shit. And, weddings and, or not weddings, but receptions and then caters these events. And Joanne's done everything in her life. All right, so this is going to be just fucking impossible. I can't see a goddamn thing. I can't see a goddamn thing. How is that motherfucking Trump? I didn't watch it. What am I going to do here? Let's see. You know what? Fuck this. Do these. So Horatio Sanz is in a movie, is in a TV show called Great News. And it's a pretty funny show. And it has one of my favorite comic actresses in history, Andrea Martin. She just is fucking brilliant. Her and Nora Dunn. are among the females, the two funniest. You know, I always talk about the three funniest guy comics, but you know, I'm like a lot of people. I won't even say like a lot of people. I'll own it. You know, I just think of men, and you know, I mention Bill Murray, John Cleese, and Fred Willard, and they are the three funniest men. But if you put Andrea Martin and Nora Dunn in that mix, I don't know where to put them, but they should be in that top three. Andrea Martin especially. Christ, is she funny. At her best, when she's on, when she's in character, when she's in, you know, the right character, she's amazingly funny. And Nora Dunn, she actually auditioned for that TV pilot I did, Fill at the Gate. How many of you guys were with me way back when? Nora Dunn came in and auditioned for that. I saw her on videotape. I didn't see her in the flesh. And I was just like, fuck, Henry, you've hit some kind of a high point here, man, with Nora Dunn coming in here and reading for, you know, so I saw her in the East Bay back in the 80s, wait, early 90s. And it's the weirdest thing. You guys probably have heard me say this before, but I love to repeat this story because it's so great. She was in character. She did a variety of different characters. And I'm saying this, and I mean this with all due respect, and you'll know why when I tell you why. She didn't get that many laughs. She was kind of hurt by that and confused by that. I could tell, because at one point she said, feel free to laugh. And what I wanted to say to her, and I didn't, is everybody's transfixed by you. Just amazingly transfixed by the species, just how much you've become these people, you know? She was doing a woman who was the TV show host, and she did all kinds of people. A housewife. I really think that I drew a lot of inspiration for Bobby Dooley from Nora Dunn's housewife characters. But it was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. It was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. I'm telling you that right now. It was at the Improv in Walnut Creek, California. That's out in the East Bay, the suburbs on the East Bay. And I don't know if it's still there, if that particular club is still there. But and we weren't that far away from her, man. We were, you know, halfway back in the crowd. I remember I was there with Don and Pam, Don's wife Pam, the three of us. It was one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life. And yet it did not resonate as high comedy, because everybody there was just, I think, in love with what she was doing. Now, you know, it sounds like a bunch of shit. I'm telling you the truth for me. I don't know about anybody else in the crowd. I don't know what they expected. I don't know whether, but for me, we couldn't stop talking about it on our way home. We liked it so much. I'm telling you, the three of us just talked about it all the way home. That's how fucking amazing she was. And then Andrea Martin. Oh my God. So I got to throw them in there. And then Catherine O'Hara, Jennifer Coolidge. Holy shit. I met her at the studio out in Santa Monica, voiceover studio. We were doing Napoleon Dynamite. And I was in the green room thing, the lounge thing. You know, they were calling us in one at a time. And that place was pretty, all kinds of fucking heavyweights were walking in and out of that joint. Danny DeVito came in there one day. the German model, Heidi Klum, is that her name, Heidi Klum? And Jennifer Coolidge was there. And I wanted to start gushing about her, but she didn't seem to, I don't think she liked me, because she had heard about me from her friends in Michael McKean and Harry Shearer and some of the guys in the Spinal Tap movie and Best in Show. And she was in those films. And I don't know whether they gushed on about me or they went on about me being something not, you know, higher than human, maybe, you know, divine. But when she finally met me, she was like this. Yeah, a lot of those guys think you're funny. Like, anytime anybody says to you, yeah, they really think you're funny, that's basically you can't take that any other way. You cannot take that as anything other than an insult. Well, I shouldn't say that. If they haven't heard you, if I hadn't seen them, I'll tell you, they just love, if I hadn't seen someone and I met them for the first time, the nicest thing I could say to them would be, my friends think you're just hysterical. I haven't seen your show yet, you know. She didn't quite say that, though. She was like, mm-hmm. So that kind of hurt, but I didn't really give a shit. She's like just amazingly funny. I mean, crazy funny, you know. And you see people, you know, like cats that I had on stage, you know, when I was doing Phil Henry and Friends. All of the comics were so great. But some of the guys that stood out for me, Chris Fairbanks, you should catch more of him. Greg Hahn, really. Like that guy, he's just completely unique. I thought he was funny. I don't want to leave anybody out because people are going to think that I didn't like him. I mean, I could go on and on and fucking on. And I don't want to do stand-up comedy because it's just not my, I don't know how, I can't do it, man. I don't write jokes, you know? Now, I said that to people, and I say that to people quite a bit until they're probably getting sick of hearing it. And I said it again on Friday night in San Francisco after my show. And I was standing talking to one or two of the folks that came to see me. One of them, I think, was Bree from our Friday night chats. Bree was there. And she said, and looked at me weird, like, what do you mean you don't write jokes? Of course you do. I said, well, no, I think that not the jokes that you hear comedians write and perform. Those have specific beginnings and middles and ends, and the joke is, the laugh is supposed to come here, and then they did it, and then the laugh is supposed to come here, and then the laugh's good, you know. And there's a real pacing, and there's a very definite expectations that you have at a stand-up comedy show, and they come in pretty rapid succession. As I said, that's too much fucking pressure for me. Now, getting up and performing in character in a funny way, I can do that all day, you know. I can do that all fucking day, but for whatever reason, man, stand-up is just freaks me out. So doing Sketchfest is a lot of fun for me because that's really, it's a place that embraces improv a lot more. And there's a lot of different stages and a lot of different venues up there. You know, there's improv, there's a stand-up, and there's also sketch comedy, and there's improv comedy, and there's all kinds of stuff going on all over the city at any given time. I think this coming weekend is the last weekend. And I wished I could have stayed for Saturday night. I couldn't because they had all kinds of fucking parties and it would have been a lot of fun. But I had to get back because we're losing our dog sitter. And oh, fuck. What is the name of this picture? Spartacus. Spartacle? That's a funny name for a major picture. This chick tweeted, this is funnier than fuck. Girl Scouts are fucking ruthless, selling right outside a dispensary. These Girl Scouts, I don't know what city it is, had set their goddamn Girl Scout cookie stand right outside a marijuana dispensary. And you see these two dudes kind of coming out and turning, and they see this whole big-ass cookie display. Genius. You know? Fucking genius. I'd have to find out how much money they made, but I love it, man. I think we'll have Vernon Dozier on to predict the winner of the Super Bowl, which he's predicting Philadelphia after a short dalliance with the New England Patriots. He thinks, and the reason is Doug Peterson. He thinks that Doug Peterson's Bill Belichick's equal as a coach. Now, he still ain't got the quarterback that Bill Belichick has, or has he? My eyes are just, look at this. No, I can't find my glasses, so I've got to work from this. Like any, what am I, nearsighted? Is that it? When I have to hold it away, is that called nearsighted or farsighted? What is that? If you're like this, you're nearsighted, right? If you're like this, you're farsighted. I've had today 1,600 calories, and I blow like 800 of those calories in one sitting because I hadn't had cheese in so long, and I had a block of Monterey cheese, and I looked at this thing, and 16 servings at 110 calories per serving, which is not bad, but that serving is probably no more than a couple ounces maybe. So I looked at this thing that was a total of, well, 16 times... 880, that's what it was. What am I doing? Yeah. 8 times, yeah, 720 and 880. Yeah, that's right. 720 and 880 comes to 1,600. So I was right. I ate half of it is basically what it's. I ate half this block of cheese and fuck it and said, okay, well, won't be eating till midnight. The worst thing you can do is borrow calories from the next day. Don't ever do that shit. Don't ever do that shit. You need calories? Go out and work. Work off some of the ones you've consumed. Go out and run. Go out and walk. Go out and fucking do sit-ups. Do something, man. And get yourself to a place where you can, you know, use some more calories. Either that or just starve yourself. But I don't recommend, you know, if you need protein. You got to get some blood sugar going, man. You got to, you know, if you got stuff you have to do. I, fortunately, don't work during the day. I work at night. So I can rest up, whatever. I am trying to find, you know, just as this is the thing that I'm doing. See. Q Masekela passed on. Do we have any video of Q Masekela, I wonder? Oh, come on, you motherfucker. Let's get real here, huh? I don't know if is that Q Masekela? I don't know. But he was South African. Caleb passes on. He was in his 70s. And I don't know whether that's is that some... I'm not sure what that is. Here we go.
I told you.
Maybe we'll bring him on here in the show. That was a huge hit record. All right, man. Problem Selections. Is that the name of the fucking band? Huh? I don't understand that at all.